Howdy, folks. Welcome to another edition of The Dog Cast. I am Ken the Ken Dog Jackman here at DogsMovieHouse.com, giving you the latest and greatest in movie reviews. And this week we've got two new ones for you. The week of July 15th, 2016. And we're going to start with one that's going to be under the radar, because this week is the week of Ghostbusters, the all-female film directed by Paul Feig and starring Melissa McCarthy. We'll get to that in a second, but first and foremost, I want you guys to check out a movie called The Infiltrator. This was directed by Brad Furman, who's probably best known for The Lincoln Lawyer, and writing credits go to Ellen Sue Brown, and actually that's Ellen Sue Furman. Or Ellen Brown Furman. Goodness, there are a lot of different names here. And I believe that's his wife. And it's based on Robert Mazur's book of the same name. And it stars one of my favorite actors, Bryan Cranston. He plays Robert Mazur, who is an agent for the Customs Department, U.S. Customs, working with the DEA. And it's about his attempt to bring down Pablo Escobar in the 80s. And what he does is he ends up assuming a fake name from a tombstone, one of the movie's more amusing scenes, and posing as a money launderer, and starts working his way up until he ends up getting into the secret circle of a fellow named Alcino, played by Benjamin Bratt, with some really, really good charm. One of the things about Bratt's character is that he is not the typical oily Mexican gangster. He's a family man, and he considers himself a businessman. He even explains it to Cranston's character at one point. Of course, there are lots of different trials and tribulations in which Mazur has to hide his other life from his would-be Confederates, and there are some very interesting scenes when he actually does launder money in the pursuit of a greater goal. To help him out, he gets help from another agent who plays his wife, and that's funny, I don't seem to have that here. Diane Kruger plays her, and their scenes together are actually really, really good, because they basically start having chemistry together, because he spends a lot of time away from his wife, but at the same time, he knows that this is more a reaction to the danger that they're in. And so there's no romantic side plot, but you can tell that there's a bit of a bond going on, especially when they have to have dinner and act the adoring couple in front of Benjamin Bratt's character and his wife. And that makes for some of the tenser scenes in the movie. There's also a scene in the movie reminiscent of Donnie Brasco, where he's actually out with his real wife, and He runs into one of his Confederates, his cover's Confederates, and has to change the identity of his wife to a secretary. Of course, it's their anniversary, and so when the waiter brings out the anniversary cake, he has to go all gangster on the guy, saying, no, this is happy birthday, not happy anniversary, and it gets predictably violent from there. But it's a great scene for Cranston in his acting style, where he has to change from easygoing huntsman to gangster in a heartbeat. And that, my friend, is very much worth watching. There are a few beats that are reminiscent of Donnie Brasco here, which is a bit better film, but overall, this film really has a nice adult kick to it. Summer is usually the realm of big explosions, sci-fi blockbusters, and comic book movies, and if you adults out there are tired of seeing that and don't want to see Ghostbusters this weekend, I know you're out there, I would definitely suggest checking this out. Unfortunately, the theater won't be full, because I don't think this is going to make a whole lot of money, but you owe it to yourself to check this out if you want a solid adult film. I'm giving it 3.5 out of 5 on my old Barkometer, and I think it's highly recommended. Next up on our list, we have the one that everybody's talking about, for good or for bad, and this is Ghostbusters. And this comes from Paul Feig, who is one of my favorite comedy directors out there. He's done things like Bridesmaids, The Heat, Spy, all of them hilarious movies. But he and co-writer Katie Dippold are taking on this classic property. 1984 was the year that Harold Ramis and Bill Murray and Dan Aykroyd put on the proton packs for the first time and created instant comedy gold. It was so good that even when the gang got together in 1989, they couldn't do it right. I mean, if Ghostbusters 2 from 1989 has its pleasures, but it's not a very good movie. It's essentially a tired rehash of the original film. Aside from Peter McNichol, there's not a cast member who is really trying as hard as they were in the first film. And I don't know whether or not it's fatigue, I don't know whether or not everybody wanted to do something else, but you can see that the legs are really, really gone on that installment. So, when 30-plus years later, they decide to do a reboot, if you will, with an all-female cast, which has gotten an unconscionable amount of hate on the internet for some reason. I was a bit skeptical at first, and when the first trailers came out, I was less than impressed. Didn't laugh a whole lot, and Ghostbusters, the original, billed itself as a comedy-slash-scary movie. So does this one. So, in a comedy-slash-scary movie, the first inclination is to laugh. Well, I didn't laugh during any of the trailers. So, I went in last night, hoping for the best, preparing for the worst, and I gotta say, it's not bad. I know that seems like faint praise, but to be quite honest with you, that is a really it's a much higher bar to clear than what I had originally hoped for. There's a lot to enjoy in this new Ghostbusters, and it doesn't supplant the original one. You still have the original one as a classic that it is, but as its own thing, it really does pretty well. And this one actually takes the trope of, you know, the central idea from the original one and kind of expands it a little bit and changes it a little bit. Here, you have Kristen Wiig, who plays Erin Gilbert, and she is a professor who, at a young age, saw a ghost and decided that she was going to devote her time to the paranormal until reality set in for her and she decided to simply become a physics professor. Well, her best friend Abby, played by Melissa McCarthy, continued on the paranormal quest. And a book they wrote together as young adults surfaced on the internet, threatens her tenure, and that's Aaron's tenure. And so she is forced to reunite with Abby and her new friend, Kate McKinnon's Jillian Holtzman, who steals the show, by the way, to become this ghost-hunting team. The way they do it is fairly organic, and I like that. And so adding to the mix is Leslie Jones' Patty Tolan, who is a subway operator working for the MTA in New York, but is a history buff, and after a few encounters with ghosts herself, decides to join the team. And completing this particular team is Chris Hemsworth as Kevin, who may be the dumbest receptionist alive, but is hired because he looks like Thor. Ha! Anyway, what happens is that, unlike the original film, this one has to do with an individual who is actually setting off these ghost bombs, for lack of a better word, and trying to bring about a ghostly apocalypse. And it's interesting to see that actually work. The individual's name is Rowan North, and he's played by Neil Casey. And as a villain, he's kind of weak, but that really is not the point. I would love to have been stronger as a character, but he does represent a lot of the entire nerd culture out there, the worst parts of it, to be quite honest with you. The, you know, raving individuals who post anonymously, knowing and saying things that they wouldn't say to the individual's face to them talking to. It's a frustrating part of any talkback that you've ever been a part, because they, if you read any talkback on Ain't It Cool News or Screen Rant or, you know, Pick Your Poison, they're filled with some of the most vile, you know, threats of violence, bad insults, just these terrible, terrible things. And, you know, 99.9% of these guys or gals or whoever it is wouldn't even say boo if actually not being able to hide behind the anonymity of their talkback avatars. It's, you know, kind of a crazy world we live in when that is the... It's hard to really put into words, which is kind of funny because I'm talking about talkbacks. But it's depressing to see that that level of communication has become the norm when you're dealing with things like this. And so they address it rather adroitly, considering that the film itself has been the victim of these savage, savage attacks, without anybody actually having seen it yet. Having seen it myself, I have to say that there are a couple things about it that bothered me. First of all, they do include cameos by the original cast. Bill Murray gets the biggest one. But they actually slow the movie down. This Ghostbusters is better off when it's its own animal, when it's its own creature. The Dan Aykroyd cabbie one completely stops the film. Thankfully, it's only about 5 seconds worth. It doesn't really last very long, and I am very happy to say that it is gone as fast as it shows up, and then we can get back to the other movie. They do have a bit of homage to the original movie. The way that they get the original logo, not as clever as it seems, but the ghosts are actually fairly well done. The special effects are actually very well done, and I do like the different versions of the Protan pack and all of those things that came before it. I am split on Kevin. Chris Hemsworth is hilarious, but I have trouble connecting with Kevin as a character because he's almost too dumb. There's this individual, you wonder whether or not he can tie his own shoes. And even though the stuff that he does is really funny, you step back and say, why would anybody hire that guy, no matter how good-looking he is, as a receptionist? So it makes it more of a plot device than a character. Not a deal-breaker, but something I noticed and was thinking about, especially after the film. That said, if you are in the mood for a decent retelling, and you're not, you know, you don't worship at the altar of the original Ghostbusters, you're actually in for a pretty good time. The humor is fast and furious, especially in the first half of the film. Pacing kind of falters in the second half, although it picks up for a rather rousing finale. And the crowd I was with enjoyed it. Very much seemed to really enjoy the stuff. Stick around for a couple of post-credit sequences that are pretty funny. And I think you will have a good time. Give this one a chance. At least at a matinee, I think you'll enjoy it. I'm giving this one 3 out of 5 on the Barkometer. Well, that's it for this edition of the Dogcast. Next week, we're going to have a couple of other ones. Lights Out is out there. The new Star Trek is out there. And maybe, if I get time to see it, Ice Age Collision Course. 5 films in the Ice Age franchise. Can you believe it? Money does talk. Anyway, have a wonderful weekend at the movies. Don't forget to listen to me every Friday from 3 to 4 on AmericaMatters.us for the whole hour-long Dogs Movie House. And we will see you next time on the Dogcast here on DogsMovieHouse.com.